so that we don't lose it, whatever it is. We're going to be in James chapter number 1. Brother Joe, I don't know what title this is, so we might make up a title by the end. I don't know, but we're in James chapter number 1. I don't know what the title of this message is. It's the scriptures. It's the scriptures. In James chapter number 1, look at verse number 17. We're going to read down through pretty close to the end of the chapter. Verse number 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Now, let me stop there. You see that verse right there? That verse in my Bible is down at the end. It's down at the end of the book. And it seems like an obscure passage. You know, it's like one that you would just read over and, you know, just go right on. But it actually has a lot in it. It has that word begat in it. Begat. That's a strange word. But it's got a lot of meaning in it. We'll come back to it here in a little bit. Verse number 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Now see that verse right there in verse 19 and 20, that's gonna hit everybody. That's gonna hit us all. You see those three S's there? Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I don't know if that hits you, but it hits me. Next verse, verse number 20 says, "For the wrath of man," you know what wrath is, that's anger. "The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." So he says in verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." Now see, there's another strange word there. You see that superfluity of naughtiness, that's just a bunch of sin. That's what that is, a lot of it. "Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." Now what a verse that is. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Well, I thought God saved your soul. I thought Jesus Christ saved your soul. Well, he did. But he has a certain way that he does it, and this verse tells us about it. "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." Verse number 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer." Now, don't we have a bunch of those folks around? I mean, and sometimes we're probably all guilty of it. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." I mean, have you ever been in, I'm sure we all have. Just goes in one ear and right out the other. And choo, we just get up and walk right out, see. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." But then notice what the next part of that says. "Deceiving your own selves," verse 22. "Deceiving your own selves," verse number 23. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass." That glass there is like a mirror. Verse 24, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So if we want to be blessed in our deed, he tells us how there, okay? So we'll stop right there and we'll take some things from these. It's mostly for Christians, but if a person's not saved this morning, we'll talk about that too. So let's pray. Father, we come to thy throne of grace, and Father, we are totally helpless without thee, and we pray the Spirit of God would help us, enlighten us, please. Give us understanding of your words and apply these things to the hearts of your people. And I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's come and help me this morning to preach and bless your people. I pray and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells the pastor that he is to, or the preacher, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, to preach the word. "Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." So he tells us exactly what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to preach. We have a book that he has given us. My favorite, my verse that I claim for myself is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 2, and it says this. It says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you." Feed the flock of God. What am I supposed to feed them? I'm supposed to take the Bible, feed it, give it to us. You see, all of us, we're supposed to eat spiritual food. He says that we're to desire the sincere milk of the word. If you're here this morning and you're saved, and most of you are saved, the Bible tells you that we should desire the Bible as spiritual food, and we should take it in, and it will help us to become strong in the faith. That's the only way you can do it. There are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts in the Christian life. And you know, the Bible, without the Bible, we would know nothing. We would know nothing about salvation. We wouldn't know anything about heaven, hell. We wouldn't know anything unless, if God did not give us a Bible. But God did tell us. He did give us a Bible. And so we have it. The Bible is preserved. It is powerful. It is pure. It is full of promises. It is practical. And it is profitable for all of us, you see. I was telling the folks this morning in Sunday school that sometimes we get the idea that that we're a special case, or we're exempt from some things or something like that. Nobody's exempt. We're all the same. We're all the same. One size fits all. The Bible's good for everybody. The Bible tell you how to be saved. The Bible tell you how to go to heaven, what God Almighty has done for you, how that He sent His only begotten Son into this world, and that He bore your sins in His own body on the tree, on a cross. Your sins are already paid for. A lot of people think, well, I've got to go to about this religion and that religion, and I've got to go to this church and that church. Forget about a church. Salvation is not about a church. Amen. It's about a person. It's about what God did for you on the cross. He bore your sins. He died and He suffered in your place. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But God has sent His Son, and He died on the cross the death that you deserve to die. He's already done that for you. And He wants to give you now the gift of eternal life. You cannot earn it. He's already purchased it for you. You must accept it as a free gift from Him by grace. It is by grace. It is the free gift of God, see. God has given us a Bible and told us, tells us all of these things. And the Bible says in Matthew 24 and verse number 35 about the words of God, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away. Long after you're gone, long after we're gone, long after this earth ceases to be the way it is now, long after all of that, the words of God will still be here, because they are eternal words. They are life-giving words. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words, Jesus said, shall not pass away. And so we have a book with the words of God. And Jesus said, John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, you see. So we want to be blessed. Want to be blessed. It is terrible for people to raise up their children. I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for the kids. To raise up their family, to raise up their children without the Bible. What are they going to do? What are they going to do when they get up and leave that home and they go out into the world? It's an evil world, you see. But they're raised up without the Bible, without instruction from the Bible. They're kept from the greatest book that has ever been written on the face of the earth, the words of God. But yet they know nothing about it, you see. Your children will be blessed. All of our children will be blessed if we will give them the words of God every day. You see, are we doing that? How is your home? That's not the message, but that's in there, see. Raise our family without, how can we do that? Raise our family without the benefit of the Bible. The book of James here. All Scripture. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. Sometimes it seems like it's boring. You ever read some of the Bible? Man, it sure seems boring. Or I read a half a page of that. I don't even remember what I read. What was I reading about there? You see, I don't know if you're like that. I'm just talking about me. See, I'm not talking about you. No, see, there's a lot of the Bible. See, it's kind of like life. It's the way life is. Sometimes life is humdrum, you see. That's the way the Bible is. It's the way the Bible is. James is a practical book. There's a lot about doing things, working, obeying what the Bible says. And he's going to end up today in verse number 25 that we just read. Said, if you will, that we'll be blessed in our deed if we'll be doers of the work and not hearers only. Last week we stopped in verse number 17. Verse number 17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, variableness, neither shadow of turning. We'll get on that in just a little bit. You see, every good gift. You see, in life there are good gifts and then there's perfect gifts. Well, good gifts, I mean, everybody likes a good gift, see, but good gifts, if you'll notice verse 17 that I just read there for you, we'll start right there. Good gifts are like physical, material blessing, but they're temporal. They're just here for a time. Those are good gifts, and we all like them. We need those good gifts. It's like you got a house to live in. You got strength to work. You got a family. You're blessed. You live in the United States of America. I mean, if you live in the United States of America, God could have let you be born in Bangladesh. He could have let you be born in Tibet. He could have let you be born in Nepal, you see. But see, he let you be here. Either come here or you're here. Doesn't matter how you got here, see. But see, those are good gifts. I mean, do you have a few dollars? You got a bank account? Do you have a few dollars in a bank account? Are you able to pay some bills? Are you able to buy some groceries? You going to go out to eat today? Are you going to eat somewhere today, see? Those are good gifts. Every good gift comes down from God, see? We want to thank God all the time for the good things that he gives us. But then there are perfect gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. See, perfect gifts. You know what perfect gifts are? Perfect gifts are things that last forever. They last forever. See, that's like salvation. You know, it's like salvation. See, that's like a justification. That's like redemption. That's like the gift of the Holy Ghost. Whenever, you get the gift of the Holy Ghost, whenever you got saved, the Spirit of God came to live inside of you. And you know what? He's never going to leave. No matter what happens, no matter what you do, if you're saved, no matter where you ever go, no matter what happens, the Spirit of God is never going to leave you until the day that you leave this earth. He's never going to leave you. No matter if you feel him or you don't feel him, see, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Father of lights, that is, he brought light into this world. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible said, God said, let there be light. There was darkness on the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. See, he just spoke and light came out. It wasn't the sun. He brought the sun out in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 16. The Bible says he made two lights to rule, one to rule the day, that's the sun, and a lesser light to rule the night, that'd be the moon. And it goes on to say he made the stars also. He's the Father of lights. He brought life into this world. Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse number, I think it's verse number 4, I am the light of the world, you see, the light of the world. And so see, God gives us good gifts and perfect gifts. It says there, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. Variableness means that is unchanging. He is unchanging. That is, he never increases. He never decreases. He never changes. He is eternal. Everything that you know and everything I know changes a little bit. I mean, if you take a picture of yourself or you take a selfies. I've never taken a selfie in my life and I'm never planning on it. A selfie, man, you talk about a selfish generation. If you take selfies, I don't know about anybody. But I think it's stupid myself. Selfies. That's a selfish generation, see. Amen. But if you take a picture of yourself or one of your kids and you keep it. Now see, nowadays, I don't know if anybody even keeps the pictures. See, you used to carry pictures around in your billfold. But I don't know if anybody does that anymore. I mean, I'm way behind the times, you see. I mean, I'm an old-fashioned type. Take pictures you can look at, you can hold it. But if you take a picture of your kids or yourself and you keep it for a year and you look at it, a year later or 5 years later, there's going to be some changes. There'll be a little bit. It may just be a little bit. But look, you know what? God is the same today as he was in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. When he said, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He's still today exactly like He was then. There's no decrease. There is no increase. He never gets any better. He never gets any worse. He's always the same. There is no variableness. None. No change whatsoever. He's always good. He's always perfect. He never changes any. Not even a little bit. The next phrase says, nor shadow of turning, doesn't it? There is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You got the sun out there and you see a little shadow. The earth turns just a little bit, or the earth turns a bunch, but it seems to us like a little bit. And that shadow will move just a tiny bit. You'd have to look real close to see that shadow moving. Not so with God. He never moves. He never changes. He is always the same. He couldn't get any more perfect. He couldn't get any more eternal. He never increases, decreases, nothing. He's always right. He's always the same. He never has to backtrack. Amen. Amen. That's right. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Look at the next verse. It says, of His own will, that is, He did it. Of His own will, begat. Begat. Now, a crazy word, isn't it? Begat. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. You know what the creatures are there? Of His creatures. We're on verse number 18, aren't we? Verse number 18. Kind of first fruits of His creatures. The creatures, that's not dogs and cats out there. That's you folks. You folks are the creatures. Of His own will begat He us. The word begat means to give life. To give life. It's like in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He says He begat us. Folks, listen. When you're saved, God gave you new life on the inside. You didn't just say a little prayer, but He did something on inside of you, in your heart. That's what salvation is. Amen. Salvation is not something you do on the outside. Salvation is something in your heart. Do you have that new life on the inside of you? You know what that life is? That life, God made your spirit come alive, and He joined Himself to your spirit. And you are one with Jesus Christ, you see. Amen? He begat you. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. You know what the word of truth is? That's the Bible. We're going to get to that over in verse number 21 where He says that we're to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. You see, He brought forth new life on the inside of you. If there's nothing new, on the inside, people are religious. People do religious things. They do rituals. They eat a little cracker. They drink some wine. They say a bunch of mumbo jumbo and all kind of stuff like that. Look, folks, all that stuff doesn't mean anything. It means nothing if God has not brought new life on the inside. See. If you didn't get saved and born again, that's what that means. Begat, it's born again. That's the new birth, you see, on the inside. So he said He begat us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits, the first ones of His creatures. Now then, let's move on. In view of the fact that you are saved now, in view of the fact that you have been born again, that He begat you with the word of truth, I don't care how old you are, if you're saved this morning, if you're 10 years old, or if you're 70 years old, if you're saved, then you're saved. Nobody's any more saved than anybody else. Did you know that? They're not. I mean, if you're saved, you're saved. You're saved. Amen. I got saved in 1970, see, and I was just as saved then. as I am now. If you've been saved 50 years or 10 years, it doesn't matter. You're saved, you're saved. But he says in the next verse, notice the word wherefore. Wherefore. In view of the fact that you are saved and you are born again and you are a child of God, he uses the word wherefore two times there, and that's our point. Number one, wherefore. Let me look at it so I don't get it wrong. Verse number 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren. And notice down in verse number 25, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. He says, in view of the fact that you are saved and born again, he gives you two things right there in this portion of Scripture. Number one, in verse number 19, it says, wherefore, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Is that you? Are you swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, or do we have it all backwards? Well, see, that hits me because you know, I got mad several times this week, and the Lord reminded me about that. You'll notice the next verse, verse number 20, he says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. In other words, when you get mad, that is not the righteousness of God on display right there. You see, when you get mad and whenever you get angry, and I can go from being not mad to being angry in about a half a second. About a half a second. I'm sure y'all can't, but I can. You see, let every man be, he says, in view of the fact that you are saved. He said, I want you, number one, to be swift to hear. I'd be swift to hear what God says. You see, a lot of people, this will be the third time I told you that this morning, we think we're exempt from what God says. I'm a special case. I'm a special case here, you know, and so that verse doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. It applies to everybody. The Bible works for everybody. It works all the time for everybody, see. It works for you and it works for me. We're not a special case. You're not a special case. You're not exempt, and neither am I, you see. When God wrote the Bible, he's writing it for you. He's writing it for his people, for saved, born-again people, children of God. That is on the behavior part. The salvation part, you get saved, he's writing it for unsaved to hear, that they are supposed to hear. But let every man be swift to hear, he says. Swift to hear. For kids, for young people, that'd be swift to hear what your mom and dad say. But then that'd be swift to hear what God says too. Kids ought to hear what the Bible says too, as we talked about earlier. Why would anybody want to keep their kids, their children, from hearing the words of God, from hearing the greatest words that were ever put down in a book, that God has penned down the Scriptures for us? Why would anybody want to keep their children from hearing those words? Hide them. Get them out. You see, a lot of places. Look, the Bible will do all kinds of give you all kinds of blessings for reading it. Let every man be swift to hear. Number two, slow to speak. Slow to speak. You see, wait before you get your mouth in gear. See, that's for me. That's a good lesson for me. Swift to hear, slow to speak, you see. Before you fly off the handle, you know. Before you get mad, before you get angry. Did you know I've found out that I'm a lot better than I used to be. Really, I am. I'm a lot better than I used to be, see. I have to convince my wife and maybe my daughter and some others that I'm a lot better than I used to be, see. Because I don't... So a lot of times it's better for me not to say anything. See, I think, man, I have got to say something here. I have got to do something about this. I better say something because, you know, I don't know, I just need to say something. That's what I feel like. But you know what? A lot of times the problem will just solve itself if I just keep my mouth shut, see. Or I might stick my foot in my mouth, you see. I've done that a bunch of times, you see. Or I said the wrong thing. I didn't know what the facts were, but I thought I had to say something. I've got to say something. No, just keep your mouth shut. Just keep your mouth shut and you'll be a lot better off. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow, the third thing, slow to wrath. Slow to get angry. See, there's a place for anger. But be slow about it, see. Not fast about it. We got it all backwards, you see. Slow to wrath. In John chapter number 2, Jesus made us, people were buying and selling in the temple, and he called that was his house. He made a scourge, the Bible says, of cords, and he went in and kicked over the tables and ran the people out. Now, it does not say that Jesus got angry there, but if he didn't, I bet it's pretty close to it. It's pretty close to it. Another place in Mark, Jesus was about to heal a man with a withered hand, I believe it was. And the Pharisees were there and they looked and they were going to see if he's going to do it on the Sabbath. Because they were worried about him doing it on the wrong day, they said. Jesus, the Bible says, looked about them with anger. He was angry about the fact that they didn't want him to heal someone on the Sabbath day, see. So you see, there's a place for anger. But the Bible says we're supposed to be slow about it. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Back to the left there just a little bit from where you're at in James. Galatians, Ephesians, be chapter number 4. Let me see if I can find what verse that is. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 26. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26, it said, "Be ye angry." Now notice what it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." You see that? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Everybody look up here. God doesn't want you to be mad at somebody for 25 years. Do you know that? He don't want you to be mad at somebody for 25 years. Just forget it, let it go, see? "Be ye angry, but don't sin. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." I guess he's saying that, 12 hours, that's long enough. See, before the sun goes down, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't go to bed mad. Verse number 26 says, verse 27. Well, now, isn't this something here? Verse 27, he says, "Neither give place to the devil." I guess if you go to bed angry, you're giving place to the devil. Verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth." Verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Notice verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath," see there it is. That's violent anger, is wrath, and anger and clamor and evil speaking, "but be put away from you with all malice." And notice what he says in verse 32, "In place of the anger and the wrath," he said this, "and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you," see, in the place of that anger. Yeah, be angry, but don't sin about it. And be slow about it, see. And whenever we speak, we should make sure that we know the facts. All right? He says, verse 20, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Let's go on and let's do one more. Verse number 21, "Wherefore?" All right, verse number 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Verse number 21 says, another "wherefore." In other words, in view of the fact that you are saved, "wherefore, lay apart all filthiness." Well, now that's a good thing for a Christian. To lay apart all filthiness. Get things that are filthy out of your life. Amen? Amen? Let's stop there for just a minute. That means a filthy mouth. That means a filthy whatever, filthy eyes. That means all of that kind. You see, the world is full of filthy things. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1 that we are to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. All right? So in view of the fact that you are saved now, you're born again, you are a child of God. I don't know if anybody in here has a problem with it. Cussing, all kinds of things that are filthy. See, the Bible says you're supposed to leave all that stuff off. You're not going to lose your salvation. You don't get saved by not doing certain things. You see, that's not the way you get saved. But when you do get saved, then you leave off these kinds of things. Repent. You see, repentance is a thing that just goes on and on daily. You repent. Moms and dads, don't ever use cuss words around your kids. Don't ever do that. You should never slap your kids around. If you're going to spank them, there's a place for that. There's a place for that. But you don't slap your kids around. You don't hit them. You don't knock them around. You don't call them names. You don't use words and things like that. Don't do those kind of things, you see. So he says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And look what he says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Let's stop there for just a minute. You are supposed to receive with meekness the engrafted word. I'm going to tell you what happened whenever you got saved. Everybody look here for just a second. Whenever you got saved, you heard the word of God. You heard how that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross, and he was buried, and that he rose again. You know what God did? God took the sword of the Spirit. He took the sword of the Spirit, and he punctured your heart. It's an invisible thing that he did. He punctured your heart, and he took the seed of the Word of God, and it went into your heart, and it brought forth life. The Spirit of God did that, you see. That's how you got saved. God, you see that sword up there? It's just a picture of the Word of God. The Word of God is called the sword of the Spirit, and he took that thing. It'd be like this. If you ever planted a garden, I'm sure most of you have, you know what I'm talking about. You got some moist ground and you get it all plowed up, and you take your finger and you poke a little hole in the ground. And then you take a seed and you engraft it into the ground and you cover it up, and it'll sprout and come up. That's what God did to you. He took the sword of the Spirit and he punctured your heart and he put the seed of the Word of God, 1 Peter 1:23. The seed of the Word of God. And he put that seed into your heart, the gospel seed. And that's how he gave you life, you see. The Spirit of God came in there and produced life. You see, salvation is a supernatural thing. It's not something you do. You don't get life by eating a little cracker. You don't get life by getting baptized in water. Brother, it's a spiritual operation. And you have to have life. And whenever you get life on the inside of you, he never leaves you alone. He's always working on you. He's always doing things, you see. Amen. Which is able to save your soul. Now, in view of the fact that you're saved and born again, he begat you. Number one, watch your mouth. Number two, receive with meekness the engrafted word. And he goes on to say that we should not just hear it, but we should do it. We should do the Word of God, what he says. We'll just read a little bit here. Verse number 22, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Look, folks, whenever you can do something for the Lord, then do it. Whenever you can do something, see, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. That's talking about at home. That's raising your family. That's raising your children. That's teaching your kids and your family the word of God. That's teaching your kids how to pray. That's working at the church. That's doing things for people at church. That's helping. That's doing all of those kind of things. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, see. People can do different things. So do whatever you can do for the Lord, then go on and do it because you are saved. Because you are a child of God. And if you're not saved, you're not a child of God. God wants you to be saved today and become a child of God by receiving His Son, Jesus Christ. So because you're saved, that's why that wherefore there is for in verse 21. Be doers of the word, verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Look here. You see, the Bible says, what it says is the Bible's like a mirror. The Bible's like a mirror. We look into it, and guess what we see? We see a reflection of ourself. And we read it, and it tells us that some things are wrong, and we ought to do them, see? It's like a mirror. You look in the mirror, and you got dirt on your face or whatever, and see, you should do something about it because you looked in the mirror, and you saw the reflection of yourself. So you ought to clean up, see? Well, he said the Bible, the Word of God, is like that mirror. You open it up, and you look in there, and you see a reflection of you see yourself there, and you see some problems. Okay. He said, don't just close it up and go on your way and not do anything about it. See? Amen? Verse number 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Notice he says work, not word. Work. Work, he goes from the word to work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to be blessed in your life? You want to be blessed in your life? Then read the Bible. Obey the Bible as best you can. Whenever you fall, whenever you stumble, whenever you do things wrong, you know what? God is merciful. He'll help you. He'll bless you. See, I mean, he'll help you to correct it, see. So whenever we do things wrong, just come to God and say, God, I have to do that every day. God, I'm sorry I failed you. I'm sorry, God, I yielded to the flesh. I'm sorry, God, I did this and I did that. That's 1 John 1:9. You see, God is merciful. He'll forgive you, see. Amen. If you're not saved, God wants you to be saved. He wants you to be saved. You're saved and maybe you're just backslidden away from God or something. God wants us to walk with Him every day. He wants us to be to raise our kids and families and whatever talent that we have, abilities and talents, He wants us to use them for Himself. Present your body. See, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2 says that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Did you know? Listen carefully. I'm going to tell you something else. One more thing and I'll be through. Did you know, even though you're saved, your soul belongs to God, but your body belongs to whomever you yield it to. If you yield your body to the devil, then he's got it. That's here on earth. If you yield your body to the devil, the devil's got it, and God doesn't have it. He's got your soul, God does. But that doesn't mean that people out here can't yield their body to the devil, you see. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you, see. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please.